We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us tonight, midweek Bible study, Bangor Baptist Church. I hope and pray you join a worship with us in spirit and in truth. Tonight, I want us to look at how to conquer through God's Word. Now, it's not just the reading of God's Word. It's what I've got laid out for us here. How do we conquer through God's Word? God's Word has already done the conquering of whatever it is within our life. Jesus paid the price. Jesus has accepted our guilt. We know that as Christians. But he did not leave us comfortless. We understand that that's the Holy Spirit. We also need to remember that that's God's Word. God's Word is so powerful, and I've got the 1, 2, 3s on this. Actually goes up to 10, I think, when I was doing it. And I'm going to go through them because I'm excited about page 3, so as I told you all here, that I want to hurry up and get to it. But any questions as we go along, I want us to deal with them. How to conquer through God's Word. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, actually, in Greek here, the article, the "the" is not there. It's just "in beginning." It's not "the beginning." It's "in beginning was the Word." Now, people say, well, what does that mean? What does that even matter? We do not understand God's timetable. So what do we have to do, and the those who translate it from all the different languages and all, they're trying to relate to that particular language. So for us, it would be the article "the" in the beginning. Well, there's been a beginning, and with God, think of it like this. You and I may see multiple beginnings. The beginning of new worlds, the beginning of this and beginning of that, and we use that term. There is no "the" beginning. There is God. And there's no such thing, and I know this is I'm going to back out of it real quick here. God has no beginning and he has no ending. But he's relating to us, allowing his Word to relate to us. So, I am going to back right out of that real quick. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, through John 1:1 there, you're going to see the key to not just our life, but you're going to see the key to beginning, to God. You're going to see that this is God's creation, worlds of to the nth degree. I mean, it's we cannot imagine the depth. I remember on a Mediterranean cruise. That was a Mediterranean cruise and an LSD. But it was on that cruise, and being out there on the ocean, a country boy from Buffalo, Kentucky, and it's what, like the movie Jaws, needed a bigger boat going across there, sick as a dog. But get out there and you're looking and your brain starts doing so many different things with you while you're chipping all that paint. And you think, wonder how deep this is. This little boat, nobody's going to know how to find us. And that just was a good sign. I'd probably chip a few chips of paint, one too many there with it. But you think about life. You think about, I could not even imagine depths of ocean or anything, much less the depth of the universes, however many there may be. Number one, ask God to teach you His Word. I'm talking about individually. How do you conquer through God's Word? You have to know God's Word. Now, ask God to teach you His Word because God has a Word for you. God has a Word for me. Maybe exactly the same verse, but God says, Miss Marion, this is the word I'm giving you on this word that you're looking at. Oh, Gene, as a matter of fact, this is the word I'm giving you for the same passage. Same words of God, yet individually they're sending us into directly two different ministries. At the same time, same Christ, same Holy Spirit, but that's how powerful God's Word is. Ask God to teach you His Word. Psalm 119, verse 11 and 12. Your Word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. When we discover God's promises through His Word, then we find those promises which relate to our life. So that's why God teaches us. That's why the Holy Spirit, when we're reading the God's Word and we're talking about being in prayer, and the Holy Spirit is bringing out the message of that Word. And He's saying, I want you to be able to relate this to your life. For us to be able to relate into all those different directions, because all of our different personalities and all, only the Word of God is able to do that. Only the Word of God can we relate to an innumerable number of human beings with the same Word, and yet for those individuals going in different directions. That's how powerful God's Word is. That's how He conquers. That's how you and I can conquer. Whatever the situation is, God says, I have a word for you on that, Larry. I got a word for you on that. What is it, Lord? You too lazy to read, Larry? Have we gotten to that point? Too lazy to memorize? That perfect brain I gave you, you're too lazy. Think of it. God said, I got a word for you. But in what else do we want from Him? He says, okay, through my grace I give you salvation. We talked about that Sunday. Therefore, when through my grace you are saved, not through your faith. So saved by God's grace. We key into God's grace. That's our salvation. And God says, I got a word for you. But we have to plug in, right? We have to plug into God's grace with our faith to put our faith to work in our life. How do we know what to do? Read God's Word. Pray. Talk to Him. Ask Him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay, Larry, for the umpteenth time, here's what I want you to do. Thank you, Lord, but see, I still don't think I can handle it that way, so I'll check with you again in a couple of more years and see if you've changed your mind. That's us. That's the human nature. Number two of how to conquer through God's Word. Look at the power and importance of knowing God's Word. We underestimate the power of the Word of God, folks. Look at the power and the importance of knowing God's Word. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active. Well, come to think of it, as Christians, sometimes it may be good if we ought to take our pulse to make sure we're living, because the Lord says in His Word, when our His Word is within us, not only are we living, we are alive, we are active. Active in doing what? Active in doing the ministry God's called us to do. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Now, look at the difference there on your... It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. You got that? People say, well, I thought your soul was your spirit. One thing you remember about the Scripture, the word used for soul a lot of times is meaning the human physical being, a living soul, the physical being. Other times, the way the word is used, it would be the soul or the spirit of man, the spirit of Christ within you. But we became living beings or living souls. So, what is the term? The soul of man and the human, what animates man. The thought process, the brain. Then we have become a living soul or a living being. But many times you will see it interchanged, especially with preachers when we're preaching. And the reason we do that simply is we forget which one it is. So you just forgive us when we forget which one it is. But in the translation from, the Greek, the Latin, and everything else, we just get it mixed up because I have no intention of getting a degree in Greek or in Latin or anything. No, I do good to speak Kentucky. So God says, that's fine. Let me interpret it for you. That's where his word comes in, right? Okay.
Larry,
yes, ma'am.
Is that like when on airlines they say how many souls?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. The love that God has for us, and as he says that his word is within us, brings us alive in activity. So again, I'm sure people like me would have a wisecrack on that, just like I did a while ago. You could be living and not active. That's where we sit on the pews and the old preacher said, sit soaking sour. And of course that sounds like some of us pastors. We have to really be careful and not get into a routine, folks. And I'm talking about preachers and all. I've read how many times have I went through that scripture? Oh, give me a break. I don't care how many times you go through the scripture, preacher. You are never going to understand any more about it any other time. You go to the scripture because you know it's God speaking directly to you through his word. Now, the joints and the marrow, okay. Dividing soul and spirit, okay. Here we are. Soul and spirit. Let's see. Soul here as a human being, okay. Soul and spirit. Joints and the marrow. That's the soul part. That's the human part. Got it? It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. My human heart, folks, that's the spirit. My human heart does not have an attitude. My human heart pumps blood. Your human heart pumps blood. Now, sometimes it can get a little cocky and you think it's having a bad attitude with you, but that's indigestion. The joints and the, yes, that is the breaking of the body. Again, we're talking about the double-edged sword. We got it? Okay. So think about it this way. When we pray for someone for healing, do we not see in God's word that he's in charge of all of it? Together on that sword, I'm going to show you on that page 3, and we're going to get to, you're going to see the power of that double-edged sword and just exactly who wields that power. The Word of God is life. Luke 4:4. But Jesus answered him, saying, this is when he's being tempted by Satan. We got it? Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, when he said, why don't you turn the stones that look like little loaves of bread around, you turn them to bread, and everybody, and you can feed the poor and the needy and do a good thing, which would have been sin if Jesus had done that. So Jesus gives him the answer. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, I want you to think about this. I cannot just live on bread alone, because we'll lose our mind, our psyche and all. Okay, you have food, but you have no relation with God. You have food, but you're in the middle of a desert, and you got all the bread that you can eat. Nobody around you, no companionship, nothing. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. But let me tell you this: but I can live by every word of God, because it is in God's word where He promises me, if I will dedicate my life to Him, I don't need to worry about what I have to wear. He'll see to it. He'll let the birds of the air feed me if I need that. So I can live by every word of God, but I can't live by the bread alone. God, we are complete beings. We are spirit who has a body. And when we are combined, we have a mind, which is the human existence of thought process and all. We have our physical vehicle, the body, that the mind, the brain controls. But then we have that spirit, which is... It's not like the right and the wrong. People say, well, no, this is the part of your brain. I forget which part of the brain has to do with those actions. I know the frontal lobe deals with being an undeveloped teenager. The frontal lobe has not developed all the way yet. Well, I met a lot of 70 and 80-year-old men, frontal lobe, but I haven't developed that much. Just a few, Larry. Just a few that have. Okay. The Word of God, number 4, is like a seed. If planted correctly, it will yield nourishment. Okay. What do you mean planted correctly? When God is speaking to you, let God explain it to you. Okay, Randy and I have fun batting back and forth a lot of times with the scripture. But here's the key. When God gives you a word, meaning a calling, when God gives you the vision or the wisdom to do something, God will explain what you need to do. God will explain what you need to do. You cannot explain to God what you're going to do. God will tell you what you need to do with it, and not only will He do that, He will tell you at His appointed time for you to do it. And if you do it sooner, it's not going to work. If you do it later, it's not going to work. It's of His appointed time. That's why it's His word relating directly to us. Trust Him. Gosh, folks, He knew us before we were ever even to be existing in the minds of man. You'd think that we would learn to trust Him with a small things of life, such as, what do you want me to do, Lord? Okay? Luke 8, verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. This is the story of the sowing. And it's, some fell on hard ground, some fell on, the hard ground are Baptists. Some fell on the hard ground, some fell on in the thickets and all of this kind of stuff. And the ways of the world, it's related to the thorns and the thickets that couldn't do anything. The seed couldn't go because, and that's for us running into the world. But Jesus is saying to us, pay attention, the seed is the word of God. Allow God's seed to grow inside of us. Number five, the word of God is the link to our kinship with Christ, Jesus. The word of God is the link to our kinship with Jesus Christ. Luke 8, 21. But he answered and said to them, this, remember this scripture again, 8:21 focuses on, this is what we was talking about the other week, where the paralyzed man was lowered down through the roof, and Jesus is in the house, and they said, Lord, your mother and your brothers are outside to get you. They want you to come out, and this is when he makes this statement, but he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Great story there. It's a great study there also in what Jesus was saying to them as he looked at those that were around him. These were the broken. These were the ones that were trusting him to heal their friend that was lowered down. And one guy said, and for somebody to please fix the guy's roof back, because that's not Christian to tear his roof up. But it was a focus of the Lord saying, you're my family. You believe. The study part lets you know that, and I know some of my Christian denominational friends don't believe this, but Jesus had brothers, and half-brothers, half-sisters, and he was rejecting his own family because the scripture says they were there to get him, for they thought he was out of his mind. They were there from their standpoint in an act of love to protect Jesus. And Jesus says, no, you are my family. Number six, studying the word of God is more important than serving the needs of people. That's how important the word of God is. Well, I want to serve everybody. I want to help all the needy people. That's good. That's good. You serve and you help all the needy that you can. Well, let me remind you of something. Even the heathens do that, the scripture says. Well, Old English says they will take care of the poor, throw them a scrap or something. Even those who don't know God will take care of people because they feel sorry for them. Study the word of God is more important than serving the needs of people. Acts 6, verses 2 through 4. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples. Now, this has to do when the 12 were saying, wait a minute, people, we cannot wait on these Grecian Jews and the Hebrew Jews. We cannot wait tables on them. We're supposed to be rightly dividing God's word, preaching. So here's what. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples. Okay, the 12 disciples then. Matthias is one of the disciples this time. The 12 disciples called the other disciples, meaning the other believers, the believers who have believed because of their preaching, calls them to them and says it this way. It is not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation. Gosh, I guess they left a bunch out there, didn't they? No, okay, I won't get into that part. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over what? This business. Waiting tables. Waiting tables. Remember again, Social Security. Let me get back to that. Remember when I was telling you about the temple? You kicked out of the temple. You didn't have any Social Security. No, you had to eat, so therefore you didn't want to be excommunicated. Here, it's, they're coming in and they're saying, wait a minute now, boys. This business of feeding the people, we don't have time to do that if we're ever going to study God's Word so we can rightly divide it to you. You gotta let us have time for study over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Yes, ma'am.
Was this, I get some of the parts of the Bible confused, but was this when there was like a dissension in the groups and like some of the widows and orphans weren't getting the right proportions? And,
exactly. And so that was.
We can't be bothered with this, appoint some people yes. to take care of it?
Yes. Well, what it was doing, you got to remember, the church at this particular period, the new church, they were continuing to be the Social Security for the people. People were being fed through the church. Remember, they were meeting in the homes and doing all of this. But the women did come, and they were having a fit with the apostles because, do you know that the Hebrew Jews are getting more in the portion than the Grecian Jews? Yeah, and it was an actual typical bickering back and forth within the church. You got more than I did. That is not Christian. So the disciples said, the 12 said, we do not have time for this foolishness. So, and notice what it said here. You're thinking about this is correct here in Acts, but you're thinking about also Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. You'll see a bunch of guidelines there. But here they're saying, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Well, did you ever hear somebody say, do they have the wisdom to serve the Lord? Or have you ever just heard this? Well, can they wait on tables? Well, yeah, if they've never been married before. Okay. Well, what if they lived with 50 women and never married any of them, and then they got saved? Well, that's okay. They were never married. Folks, you have no idea how deep this garbage goes. And not only that, they weren't part of our family. Oh, I've got you now. The Lord says, the food that I give you is my word, and you eat it. You eat it, and you allow it to be digested in your spirit and follow me, not what people think of you. When God said, I'm going to call you to preach, how do you know? Because you preach. Okay, God called me as a great singer. Well, you all start laughing. Why? Because I can't sing.
Well, we really never heard you.
Yeah, I ain't going to. Hey, The day you hear a song come from me and I'm in tune, start looking up. You look up and you will see the clouds part. Woo! Going home. We will give ourselves continued to prayer and ministry of the word. Never understood people when I remember Dr. Verlin Crushwood said, as we would drive back and forth to seminary and all the education I told you I got from him in the car. Going there, I learned a lot more that way. But what I understand is from him, when I said, Dr. Crush, you use manuscript, don't you? And he did. But you never knew he was reading it because he wrote it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that he was... Yes, and he said, Blair, had you ever thought about something with... And then he started telling me the stories of the old days about it. He says, what makes people think that God can give you his word just when you walk into the pulpit and you start preaching? He said, does that happen? I said, sure it happens. It's happened with me, he said. It happens all the time. But had you ever thought, or these people ever thought, that God can give me a message back here 2 weeks before he wants me to deliver that message by the same Holy Spirit, and he is leading me to write it down? And then, of course, I wasn't arguing with him on what he's doing. But that was a picture for me. He said, well, cannot the Holy Spirit have the power to give you his word, give you that sermon 2 weeks in advance? What makes it so magical because somebody can get up and start preaching? And then I said, well, it's not magical. He said, that's right. But people want you to do tricks for them. Woo! I learned a lot from that man. Can't wait to see him. Number seven, the word of God grows the congregation. Ah, there you go now. Look at there. Brother Randy, the scripture is going to tell us that it's the word of God that grows a congregation, not programs, not buildings, not how big the TV sets are. The word of God grows the congregation. Okay, what's wrong? Why congregations aren't growing? If the word of God is being preached and being fed, it simply means somebody's not eating. It is the word of God, folks. But we're having a great collapse of our churches. And I'm talking about the Christian faith, period. People are leaving it. And it drives me crazy when people say, well, you got to figure out something to do. Well, for me, I don't know what to do other than preach. I know my calling. But listen to Acts 6:7. Then the word of God spread. The word of God spread. What happened? And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many, look at this one, of the priests were obedient to the faith. Preachers were getting converted. Yeah, priests were being born again. But how? By the word. Absorbing it, listening to it. Acts 13:44. On the next Sabbath, listen to this, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Not talking about the disciples, oh, Peter's here, Paul's here. No, they came together, almost the whole city, to hear the word of God. Because the word of God is exciting and powerful, and the word of God can rightly divide. And if people are not convicted through the word of God, there's no tricks you can play, or you can't outbuild the buildings. They'll never be big enough. It tickles me to death to get to see the great churches that are being built within our area. I love that. I love to see it where they have every kind of activity to where some will be saved. And let me tell you, Service Valley Baptist Church has a tremendous man of God in that pulpit. Let me tell you, when he preaches the word, now, I will admit, or some people have told me this, that Brother Bill Langley is rougher than you. Really? No, I know Bill well because his daddy was a great friend of mine, got me started in the jail ministry, Dr. Les Langley. But Bill is sold out for the Lord, and God has given him a venue. But let me tell you, he don't mess around with anybody. You're not going to take God's word and misuse it in that church, and many young people are being saved. But God says now, for each one of you, I'm going to give you a mission. God had called me to the prisons and jails, and I always saw a church. Always had the vision for years of the church of whoever you are, come as you are, whenever you can, where anybody could be welcome. Well, in any place where anybody is welcome, not everybody wants to come. I just can't deal with, now, preacher, I just can't be around people like that. Or, anyway. So, therefore, I know my calling. Bill knows his calling. Randy knows his calling. His calling, God says, is you try to keep Larry sharp till I bring him on home, because he's done. Okay. Number eight, the Word of God grows faith. Ah! Look how powerful the Word of God is. Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the Word of Christ. The Word of God grows faith. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand. Look what we understand. That the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, so worlds, that the word, the worlds, plural. There are more worlds out there. Huh. Okay. The Word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I can't see God's Word. Well, actually, I can't say that. I believe that a person called by God, or I know how it works with me. I can see His Word when I'm preaching it. And I catch myself doing this all the time when I'm preaching. I'm thinking, what are you pointing at, Larry? They're going to think it's a... Okay, through the Word of Christ, by faith we understand the world's things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay, number nine. The Word of God abides forever. Huh? Abides. But did he not say he would abide with us? That is, take up abode to come and live within us. 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Let me go to number 10. This was a scripture. I'm going to read it. And go through it and try to keep from preaching it. So y'all bear with me here because it is so exciting. What makes the Word of God so conquering powerful? God's Word is God. That's what makes it able to conquer. That's what makes it powerful. God's Word is God. Revelation 19:11-16. I saw heaven standing open. Listen to John the Revelator here. As Jesus is saying, give them my vision. You tell them, John, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. Justice he judges and makes war. That's the second coming of Christ, folks. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. Woo! He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. You figured him out, haven't you? And his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen. Ha! Guess who's the only rider in the bloody robe in the front leading? Were dressed in fine linen, white and clean. That's got to be a spiritual horse. Can you imagine crawling on one in white linen? Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. The sharp sword, remember what it is, the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the sword of the Battle of Armageddon. This is the sword of the slaughter. The sword is the Word of God, and it happens to be coming from the Word of God, Jesus himself, and it is the sword from his mouth, his word that slaughters them. Not you and I. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. What did he tell us to do? We in the time period to build them up, are we not? He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Woo! That'll preach, Brother Randy.
You just did.
I love that. That's the power of God's Word. And because God's Word is God, we can conquer any situation. There's your Romans 8:37-39. We conquer through God's Word, because God's Word is God. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you, and have a wonderful rest of the week.